Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good. I want to just remind people during the month of April how much fun it can be to go to watch the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
And if you've never done it, it's incredible. And I think, Taylor, you can speak to this because you've actually run it.
Yes.
I have not. I've been an avid spectator.
Yeah.
But it's truly an amazing thing to see the massive amounts of runners coming down Route 16 through Wellesley or wherever you're watching Commonwealth Ave. And they are, it is truly amazing. And kudos to all of them that do it and train for it, because it is no easy feat. I have done it once, and I commend everybody that gets to the finish line, however they get there.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you. It is super hard. Everybody talks about Heartbreak Hill, and Heartbreak Hill is fine, but what nobody talks about that was a surprise to me when I ran the Boston Marathon is that after Heartbreak Hill, it's just a bunch of like ups and downs. Like the hills aren't big, but it's just continuous. There's a lot more hills between there and the finish line, and that is where you start to run out of gas, right? It is it's a really tough race, but we really appreciate all of the fans who come out to support the runners. And it is cool about Boston that we have become like the world capital for what was once a niche sport, but now, you know, now everybody and their dog runs a marathon, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know, like all these incredible sports that people might minimize, and they're amazing. You know, everybody's found something that they can do, young, old, fit, not fit.
Mm-hmm,
you know, there are all kinds of things that people can do. And I think Boston does it better than most places.
Yeah. So speaking of marathons, this month we are talking about getting started on your home search, and in a market as competitive as ours, that can feel like a marathon. So this week we're going to talk about thinking beyond the purchase, right? Because we're not, you know, buying a home is just step one with that home, right? You're going to live in it for years. So Mom, how can home buyers identify properties that not only meet their current needs, but also offer flexibility for future life changes, such as family changes, family expansion, or downsizing at some point?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that when they enter the real estate market, either look at the house as a 3 to 5 year proposition, mm-hmm. because at that particular moment, things are looking pretty solid. They may not have children yet. They might not be married yet. They might, you know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of different variables. I think that most of the people that I deal with that are in that first house mode, I often say to them, you know, you're making a decision that probably within the next 7 years, you're going to be coming back to me,
mm-hmm.
because your situation will change.
Right.
Either financially, family-wise, your commute might change. You might end up, you know, going to the North Shore versus the South Shore. So, you know, it's hard to say to somebody, you're buying a 30-year house right now.
Right.
Because most people are not. I think that if people are trying to make a good and get into an investment that they feel has potential, then they've got to understand how they can potentially add on to the house or improve the value of the house by taking a sunroom and making it a screened-in porch, making it into a sunroom that becomes another room, bumping out the back of the house and creating a really cool patio backyard area. Some people buy houses, grow into them. So it just kind of depends on your price point, where you are, as we mentioned before, time-wise. Do you have the time to do projects? Mm-hmm. Do you have the energy to do project? And do you have the finances to do the project? So anybody that's looking to potentially change their house has to really understand setbacks and lot size and some of the town's mm-hmm. requirements for building.
Right. No, I think you are absolutely right to consider probably the top thing when expansion might be part of your life plan is the things that are going to limit the footprint of the house, the setbacks, wetlands is another really common one.
Yeah.
Because it tends to be a lot cheaper to build sideways than to build up. And so if you're like, hey, I want to be able to add like another bedroom or maybe like a suite for my parents, that's what you got to look at. So look at the plot plan, kind of get a sense for how far away the house is from the property lines and other obstacles, easements. So the third one that's really important so that you actually have the space to do it.
Right.
So the other one that I'll bring up, because I live in a denser part of the region than you do, is the flexibility of different rooms. So the most common one is this room could be a bedroom or an office, right? But that can apply to a lot of different rooms. Like I have in my basement, I have a room that is currently my kids' rec room. We joke that it's the rec room because they can wreck it.
Yeah. It is wrecked.
Yeah, it is wrecked. And so, but you know, when my oldest gets old enough, you know, we might do some cosmetic stuff to make that room like a tween or a teen hangout room so that I don't get banished to my bedroom when he wants to hang out with his friends, right? So, you know, you can, that is another important strategy, is asking yourself, can this room flex into what I need it to, or is there something about it that I've really got to fix to make that happen? How should buyers evaluate the potential for renovations in a new home?
Well, I think it's kind of a combo of what you said and what I said, right?
Yeah.
You have to kind of know that you could expand the house if that's important. For instance, many of my age group are looking into wanting a first floor master, or when they buy a house, they might have a office that they want to potentially know that could be a bedroom.
Yeah.
So is there a bathroom nearby if they can't go up and down the stairs?
Right.
Having had knee surgeries, I empathize with them totally. I think that versatility of spaces is a very big question right now. And how can I max some rooms, for instance, screened in porches, you can put glass around them. You can put one of the new split systems in, and all of a sudden you've got a playroom for kids that you didn't have on the first floor before.
Absolutely.
And I think people have to be creative. And again, some of this comes back to your realtor having good knowledge of ideas or floor plans, or has maybe I've seen something that I can tell them is in fact a way that they might approach it.
Right. And I'll add a few rules of thumb to think about renovations. So number one, it's always more expensive than you think it's going to be. Number two, depending on exactly what you're doing, you're going to drive your costs. And so I think, in my opinion, the most expensive thing that you can do in renovations is dig a hole, right? Moving earth is just surprisingly, ridiculously expensive. So if you want to put in a window well, or you want to deepen your basement floor, those things cost a fortune. The second most expensive thing is touching the exterior of your house. So building exterior walls is usually going to be like a big ticket renovation. Number three, kind of the easiest one, is cosmetic stuff. So if you want to refresh your kitchen, but you're happy to keep the floor plan as is, that's actually reasonably easy to do, because we're talking about tiles, countertops, paint, and maybe appliances. Maybe in between number two and number three there is moving walls around. It's not as expensive as building an exterior space, you know, building an exterior wall, but moving a wall in your home, it's just a different price point. So, you know, when you're asking yourself, hey, can this house be what I want it to be within my budget? You need to be thinking about, you know, well, which of those four things am I going to be doing the most of? Am I going to be adding an addition? Because then I'm going to be talking six figures at least. Am I going to be doing a refresh? Because then we might be talking five figures, even low five figures.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think people need to get the right starting point for them and know what the potential is.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break and then answer a couple of more questions. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. All right, Mom. What do British real estate agents serve at their open houses?
Tea.
So close.
I don't know. I thought tea time.
Proper tea.
Proper tea.
Ew.
Okay. Okay, that's close. That was good.
Yeah. Okay, so question from the audience. When purchasing a home, how should buyers consider the aspect of legacy and passing on property to future generations? So I'm guessing they meant like, if my kids are going to inherit this, how should I think about it? I'm going to say right there, like, right in this area, if your kid's getting a house for free, like, they can keep quiet and just be happy. you owe them nothing more. But all right, let's talk about this, right? Because I think there are things that make houses more attractive based on what life stage you're at. And I'll give an example that I see pretty often. So when you are earlier in life and earlier in home ownership, yards are very attractive because you have kids and you want a place for them to play. When they grow up, they leave the nest, you're looking at this big empty yard. A lot of people start doing gardening in that yard. They start digging up the grass and putting in flower beds or planters, et cetera. And if your game plan is to like give this to one of your kids, then you might be thinking, all right, they're probably not going to want all of this because they're probably going to go through the same cycle I went through and want a yard to start because they have kids.
I think it's a very complicated situation for parents to give their children the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously a lot easier if you only have one child and not multiple children, because there's probably a lot less confusion or concern. I think in this day and age, you need to talk to a lawyer that really understands what you should do, because you're undoubtedly going to have capital gains and maybe you need the money for long-term care. I think that it's a great gift to be able to say you're going to do something like that. But it's obviously got to be people that know about the law and the taxation and all the things that come into that gifting need to be involved.
Yeah. I live in a town where this happens a lot. You know, I don't live in like, just where I live, homes have gotten really expensive. I don't think it was ever really like a quote unquote blue collar or like working class town. We had a, you know, my town was the home of a certain presidential candidate who founded a certain private equity firm a long time ago. So, you know, it's not like we're not like a hard scrabble kind of town, but prices, it was like a middle income town for a long time. And now it's like a super high income town, because that's how much money you need to be able to afford a place here. And so the way a lot of parents have kept their like family and community together is by passing their homes on to their kids.
Or giving them the opportunity to stay in the same town that they grew up in that they might not be able to do.
Correct.
At this stage of their life.
Absolutely.
So it's a great question. And I think it's very generous of many parents. And I hope they only have one child.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. Yeah. I've seen a lot of kids and not a lot of bedrooms in my town. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks for that awesome question. If you are a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.